Thank you, Lyle. That was a special request by the pastor, so thank you all for doing that and accommodating that. So on January 23rd, 2011, I preached a sermon that was called Greater Things Are Yet to Be Done, and the text was from the book of Nehemiah. Now, since I know you all have not probably looked at the book of Nehemiah since 2011, let me just remind you of the story. So, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of Artaxerxes, the Babylonian king, and the Jews were in the Babylonian exile. God put it on his heart to go back to Jerusalem because there was no wall around Jerusalem. And back then, without a wall, you really couldn't live. You couldn't have a town. And so, God put it on Nehemiah's heart to go back. The king allowed him to do that, gave him safe passage, and actually helped him start doing the wall. And so he shows up and starts, after a little while, kind of surveying the wall and that sort of thing, starts to rebuild the wall, gets the Jews to help him start rebuild the wall. And the enemies of the Jews hear about it, and they're not happy about it because, you know, they've got easy access to the town. And they're not excited that their enemy, the Jews, are going to put the wall back up around Jerusalem. And so they plot to come and attack them. But the Jews find out about the plot, and they prepare to protect themselves. And then an interesting thing happens in this book. The Jewish people that live in the neighborhoods nearby Jerusalem, but not actually in Jerusalem, came and complained 10 times, "Don't do this, they're going to kill us all. Don't do this." And Nehemiah kept going and built the wall. And the people were so determined to build the wall that they were building the wall with a trowel in one hand and a spear in the other. And the sermon that I preached to you was, we are going to need that kind of determination to rebuild our walls, to rebuild our church. That was the point of the sermon, that we needed to have that sort of commitment because we were going to be opposed, not by the Baptists or the Christian church or the Anglicans, but by Satan. That's what they call him in Hebrew. It's Satan. It means the adversary. I mean, who didn't want to see St. John's rebuilt? That's who. That's who didn't want to see us get rebuilt. And so the point of the sermon was that we were going to face adversity and it was going to take determination, commitment, and effort. Now, like all metaphors, this one breaks down a little bit because the whole point of building a wall around Jerusalem was to keep people out, right? We want to bring people in. Really, our walls are to keep the air conditioning in, right? And invite people to come in. So what did Nehemiah and the people do after the wall was built? I'm glad you asked that question. We're going to look at the sixth chapter of Nehemiah, and then we'll skip to the seventh. So this is 6, 15, and 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And switching to chapter 7 now. Now when the wall had been built and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, I gave my brother Hanani charge over Jerusalem along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, "The gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot, while the gatekeepers are still standing guard. Let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their watch posts and others before their own houses. The city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been built. The enemies of the Jews, enemies of God, really, were afraid. Not because the wall had been built, not because there were a few determined Jews that built it, because they perceived, they understood that this happened not because of these determined Jews, but because of the hand of God, the work of God through them. The relocation and the rebuilding of this church was not the work of just a few determined Methodists, but it was the work of God. God working through God's people in God's church, and God working through people in this community. Many in this community, not just of St. John's, but of Texas City, Lamarck, went over and above in helping us to rebuild this church. The electricians at Betancourt gave us some very special treatment, and still do. Tinelli, the metal company here in town, completely reworked the cross that's out there, installed it, stored it for several years for free. They wouldn't take a dime. That really awesome church sign that we have out there that's color, we ordered one that was monochrome. But TNT Signs here in Texas City upgraded us at their cost. So God was at work in our community as we were rebuilding. And God was at work in you, as many of you gave generously of your money and even more generously of your time to make these walls that keep this air conditioning in a reality. This place and what it is now is nothing short of the work of God. And you were part of it. You were a part of rebuilding this. And we did some crazy things, like worship in the Mall of the Mainland. We lost a few folks along the way. We've gained a lot of new folks that are a part of this worshiping community. When this church was consecrated on April 1st, 2012, Palm Sunday, the adversary, Satan, he lost a little self-confidence, self-esteem, and those who knew gave the credit to God. So God did this. God helped us do this. God worked through us to do this. So now what? Well, the truth is, God only knows. But I think we can get a clue from Nehemiah. Nehemiah in that text tells us that the lay leader, the SPR chair, the musicians, the team leaders, the Sunday school teachers, the small group leaders had all been elected and appointed. He said that. Right. Well, he didn't say exactly that about the SPR chair and the lay leader, but what his point is, the leaders are in place. Then he put his brother in charge of the city of Jerusalem, gave some instructions, and he stepped back. Because if you read the book of Nehemiah, most of the rest of the book of Nehemiah, although he's penned it, he's written it, is about Ezra and the Jewish people rediscovering the Word of God, rediscovering their passion and their love and their desire to be obedient to God. The instructions that Nehemiah gave were about the purpose of the wall. which was to keep people out. Not just any people, not all people, but the bad guys, their enemies, those that wanted to do harm. And then he said this, "This city is wide and large, but the people are few." Now, we don't know exactly when Nehemiah left in this process, but he does say in 13:6 that "I was not present for this. I had returned to the king as he had promised to do." And he returned later to Jerusalem. The mission, the purpose for any church is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. And that's what we were commissioned to do, right? That's what Jesus tells his disciples, the end of Matthew. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of every Christian church on earth, to make disciples of Jesus Christ. The question every church, and this is part of my due job, question every church has to ask themselves, how are we going to do that? How are we going to make disciples of Jesus Christ, given this unique collection of people and our unique place in our community? This church has decided that our vision for that is to invite people to experience amazing love. When we met with the leaders and we were talking about what's our vision, what is it that makes us unique? Overwhelmingly, what I heard from the 30 people that were gathered there is we love people well. We love well. And so that became our vision. That became how we, St. John's, are going to make a difference in this community and make disciples for Jesus Christ, is invite people to experience amazing love. That's our vision. That's how we do it. That's what makes you unique. And St. John's, you love well. You reach out in love and concern to people within our church, within our church family, and within the community and the world. You have changed lives because you have allowed someone to experience amazing love. And as a side note, after watching you all with Reagan, you all are really great at nurturing new pastors along. You as a body, you need to look for opportunities to do that, because what you have done with Reagan, the way you have nurtured her and taught her, believe it or not, she learned from you all, you have sent her off to do some awesome ministry. And you've done the same with Cindy Riddick. You're good at this. So you, as a body, you need to look for opportunities to nurture those young, up-and-coming pastors, because you're good, really good at that. St. John's, I have seen your love. I have heard your love. And I've experienced your love. But there's many people, many, many people in our community who've never, ever experienced amazing love. Never. It's your job. Each one of you, it is your job to make sure that the people in this community and in the world experience amazing love. You're not exactly a few, but enough have experienced amazing love that we can make a difference in this community. It is up to you. each one of you to go out and find the people to whom you can show amazing love. Invite them to come and see the amazing love that happens here in St. John's. That's your vision. That's your calling as a church, to show people, invite people to experience amazing love. It's been a rare privilege to be your pastor these 5 years, and you've been a blessing to myself and to my family, and you are in great hands. I invite your new pastor now to send us out with a benediction.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have truly been in the midst of worship, and God has great things to be done in this city, and some of those things might be done in you, through you, by you, through the work of God in you. So go sustained, being equipped and called at the Lord's table. Go forth in great peace, great joy, and great celebration. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mike, before you leave the building, one last request. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slam my name all over the place. Do anything that you want to do, but honey, hey, ho! Devil, my blue face. Well, you can do anything, you know, in my blue face shoes. Well, blue, blue, blue face shoes. 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 You can do anything, but they all wear their blue face shoes. He's leaving the building.
The lesson in that, people, is be careful what you put in an email.